Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Hey B'Tishrei Parshas Vayelech, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 17 September 2015, webcasting from the land of the Jews, the target of rocks in every generation in Islam. I spent 3 years of my life living in the 18th century, so to speak, immersed in books written in that century, about North Africa and how the U.S. was the target of the Muslim powers on the Barbary Shore. I wound up reading a lot of material on life there in general and discovered the Jewish communities there in Morocco, Algiers, Tunis, and Tripoli in that period. They lived in exclusively Jewish enclaves, dare we call them ghettos, some with gates and curfews, passing through the non-Jewish city streets as they had to from time to time meant the occasional rock thrown by Muslims at them just for fun. And of course, the only thing the Jews could do was run. Fighting back could mean death. In the 1830s in Egypt, the English traveler Edward Lane wrote of Jews being pelted with rocks in the streets there just for fun. Only here, in our time, it is commonly an attempted murder, an occasionally successful murder attempt. On Erev Rosh Hashanah Sunday night, a 64-year-old Jew, Alexander Levlovitz, innocently driving his car home after the evening meal with friends and family, driving in a part of civilized Jerusalem that abuts a barbaric Arab area, was targeted by a rock that penetrated the windshield, I think, and hit his head, which made him lose control of the car that crashed, and in the impact, he left this life. Hashem Yikom Damo. That has been the top story this past week since the last webcast, the stone-throwing and Molotov cocktail-throwing at Jews and their homes by Muslim savages, though you'd never know by judging from the MSM here. Consider yesterday's major headline in the Jerusalem Post, quote, "Young Palestinians riot on Temple Mount for third day." I read coverage like this and can only sigh. Like the summer before last, when the MSM here reported on the rockets from Gaza fired by different Palestinian groups. This was denial on a massive scale. The differences between the different groups were their style of Islamic identification. Hamas means Islamic passion. Islamic Jihad is a name is self-explanatory. There were also, I believe, ISIS, Islamic State cells. The enemy in toto is a religious enemy. But don't tell the Israelis. Yeah, the top story today and this week has been these pinprick attacks at various locations in Jerusalem and on Route 443, and of course, those 3 days of violence on the Temple Mount, in which Ishmaelites were allowed, evidently, by Israeli authorities that claim sovereignty there to store up rocks and iron bars and concrete blocks to throw at Israeli police, in addition to flaming bottles of gasoline. And notice the coincidence of this flare-up on the Temple Mount in the very days the Jews are observing their New Year. Further evidence of the religious nature of this violence, which Israelis persist in misperceiving as nationalist agitation. Another example of Israeli obtuseness was on display this week in the news from Iceland, from its main city of Reykjavik. The city council is ordering a boycott of all Israeli goods because Israel is a racist apartheid society oppressing the Palestinians. Israel's foreign ministry huffed and puffed about a, quote, volcano of hatred with no cause, and it's just hatred for hatred's sake. Iceland has to get a grip on itself or something and stop its blindness and one-sidedness demonstrated against the state of Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East, close quote. As if they care. What it did not say, the foreign ministry, was that Israel is not a racist society. There's no apartheid, didn't say that either. The city council should be invited to come and see that for themselves. And they should also know that there are no Palestinians. These violent Jew haters here are Muslims, the very same people who brought down the World Trade Center, the same who blew up trains in the London Underground and nightclubs in Bali. Israel is not only not a racist society, the foreign ministry should have said to Iceland, it's arguably the most racially mixed state in the world. Jews over the last 150 years came here from over 100 countries, and they look it. They come in all shapes and sizes, skin tones, eye shapes, and hair textures. Iceland should have heard that anti-Semitism is lying about Jews, and anyone who says Israelis are racist and operate an apartheid system are anti-Semitic liars. It is, to my way of thinking, a phenomenon pregnant with meaning, this inability of Israelis to see the religious dimension of the hatred, the homicidal hatred of the Muslims and other Arabs and people in Iceland. As I say in my book, it is Israelis in particular and leftist Jews in general who, as much as the Arabs, invented the Palestinians because that is how they want to think of the endless violence against us here. In any case, today was much quieter in Jerusalem, likely in part due to the news that over the past week the Prime Minister has declared, quote, war on rock and Molotov cocktail throwers. It's about time, I say, like maybe two decades overdue. One report this week claimed that 13 Jews have been murdered in rock-throwing attacks, though he did not specify the time frame over how many years. Not that that matters. The truth is that rock-throwing has clearly and always been a potentially lethal homicidal attack, and it has to be treated with the same severity as any attempted murder. Problem is, the rock-throwers know Israeli law regarding minors, so they are getting 10-year-olds to do the work these days. The Prime Minister has convened two or more, I think, emergency cabinet meetings. There's going to be an emergency Knesset meeting. He wants the speedy drafting of new legislation, calling for much greater severity than exists now in dealing with these crimes. And he wants to see jail time, fines, the confiscation of property belonging to the minor's family. The police are also going to start using a new rifle that shoots a very low-caliber round and will be used by snipers facing Molotov cocktail throwers. Take them down without killing them. What these Arabs are doing in penetrating the Armon Hanatziv neighborhood where the murder took place and where they throw rocks at cars regularly and Molotov cocktails at houses, the police are to be given hundreds of new officers for these endangered neighborhoods. But I doubt Israel's public diplomacy will change much. From the PM on down, the government talks of no tolerance for this behavior, but does not highlight where this violence is taking place in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, and the home of the Jewish people's temples. It's really ground zero of this people's existence on earth. Those temples were built to acknowledge the existence of the creator of the universe, Abraham's God. Jerusalem, unlike many cities, world cities, London, Paris, New York, was not built on a river or a seaport. It never had any strategic significance, or commercial or industrial. Its sole reason for existence was the temple, on the Temple Mount. And that is why the past week has seen this endless violence there by Muslims, who are driven by their own religion to deny the Jews ownership of this mount. This is Haram al-Sharif, as they call it, the noble enclosure, where they say Muhammad leapt up to heaven one night, passing through seven heavens. That's another Jewish Talmudic idea the Ishmaelites stole, a nomadic, unsettled, unbridled horde of armed robbers. Muhammad leapt to heaven through the seven heavens from Haram al-Sharif, and on the way said hello to all the great prophets in history, that is, those found in the Jewish Bible. He made their acquaintance, then descended back down to the Temple Mount, remounted his winged flying horse, and flew back to Mecca, all in one night. And on the basis of this fairy tale, the Arabs and Muslims claim our Temple Mount and refuse even to share it. The word ecumenical does not exist in their universe. The Israelis are going to get tougher with this latest tactic by the Muslims, this violence against Jews elsewhere in our holy city, but don't expect the government to inform the world of our right not to be subjected to these Muslim maniacs who seem to think they have the right to attack Jews like this. In our holy city, Israel has to tell the world that preventing Jews from exercising their right to visit their Temple Mount would be like Muslims in Rome one day crowding around the entrance to St. Peter's Square and denying entrance to Christians wanting to visit the Basilica. Israel must demand, and will get, respect from the Arabs, one way or the other. Yes, the top story this week was the murder of yet another Jewish martyr via rock throwing and days of violence to disrupt Jews wishing to ascend the Temple Mount on this arguably most solemn day in the Jewish calendar, the Day of Judgment. It's common among the Goyim, among other nations, to pass their New Year's Day blitzed and blotto, partying, making merry. I think in order to mask the underlying anxiety of another year slipping by, meaning one is when you're closer to death. For Jews, though, it's time not to get drunk and party, but reflect and repent. And here are these Ishmael clones, these violent Arab teenagers, paid by bloodthirsty Islamists to throw rocks and bricks and cinder blocks at Jews on their holiest day at their holiest site. With Israelis as mute as ever over the religious meaning of these clashes, secular Zionism was the fruit of post-religious Jews who thought if they shed the Jewish religion, with its claim for Jews as the chosen people, the Goyim would end their eternal hatred and abuse, but apparently not, though the Israelis have yet to catch on to that, leastwise the ruling class has not. Like two ships passing in the night, Israel speaks of nationalism for Jews and even for the ancient ones, while the Arabs shriek, Allahu Akbar! Listen to the famous Great White Hope historian Dr. Abbas, you know, the moderate peace-driven Abu Mazen, who yesterday said in response to the violence on the Temple Mount, quote, we will not let Israelis dirty the holy sanctuary with their filthy feet. He, of course, had only praise for the Ishmael clones throwing rocks at Jews on the Temple Mount. He praised as well those two Islamist groups that Defense Minister Yalon banned from Temple Mount last week, the Murabitun and the Murabitat. The first was the name in the early 12th century of a movement of Muslim fanatics, murderers in North Africa and Spain. The second name is just the feminine version of the same name, sort of the women's auxiliary, who are also paid to shriek at Jews on the Temple Mount, who are just innocently visiting. For years, the status quo meant no praying allowed for Jews, and the Arabs had their lip police watching Jews so they don't move their lips, for Jewish halakha calls for moving one's lips in prayer. Today, just the very presence of Jews is offensive to them, lips or no lips. They have tightened the screws, which we know for sure, because they're all snarling that it's the Jews who are changing the status quo, and they won't let us. It's the same old anti-Semitic behavior of accusing Jews of one's own evil. Yesterday, when speaking of war against the violent ones, the Prime Minister was careful also to declare that he was rock solid behind maintaining the status quo. Yesterday, Mahmoud Abbas, known worldwide as the head of the moderate, secular, anti-Islamist Fatah, enemy of Islamic Hamas, said, quote, each drop of blood that was spilled in Jerusalem is pure blood as long as it's for the sake of Allah. Every Shaheed, martyr, will be in heaven, and every wounded person will be rewarded by Allah's will. Got that? That was the secular non-Islamist Dr. Abbas speaking. Jordan's King Abdullah II also condemned Israel for acting aggressively at Al-Aqsa Mosque. Again, the madness of Jew hatred that so unhinges a man's ability to think rationally and clearly. The violent ones were throwing rocks and blocks from Al-Aqsa that they had collected and prepositioned to be thrown. And here's the otherwise sober little king attacking Israel for its aggression. This is a form of almost hallucinatory madness. The Turkey's current Jew-hating Sultan Recep Tayyip Erdogan called on UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to reprimand Israel for, quote, violating the mosque's sanctity. Yeah, his boys drag into the mosque dirty rocks and blocks and bricks and rusty iron bars, and it's the Jews who violate its sanctity. And then this week, there was the State Department responding, uttering its own form of cloaked anti-Jewism. On Monday, as the violence of the New Year progressed on the Temple Mount, the barbaric attacks on police and the police attempts to shut down the violence and to defend themselves, the State Department said it was, quote, deeply concerned about the violence and urged both sides to lower tensions. This is the evil of moral equivalence. Anybody who speaks of both sides in the Arab war against Jewish independence, I say, is an anti-Semite. This refusal by the State Department to condemn outright these attacks by Muslims against Jews on our holiest day and the day after one of their rocks murdered another Jew. This refusal to condemn the Jew killers by the State Department was outright anti-Semitic. On Tuesday, Sheikh Kamal Khatib in the Islamic movement in Israel said in an interview that the recent clashes were an Israeli attempt to take over the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Israel believes it is time to build its temple. Israel's right-wing government ignited a religious war against Muslims and Palestinians across the globe and was using the divided Palestinian leadership and the ongoing regional violence to advance its plans to take over the Temple Mount. Notice the baseless charge that Israel wants to take over the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and compare this to what happened at Rosh Hashanah in the year 2000, when Ariel Sharon walked by that mosque, which is experienced by the Muslims as an insult and therefore an aggression against Islam. Remember as well 1929, when Haj Amin ignited 3 days of massacres with the false claim the Jews had set fire to that same Al-Aqsa Mosque and murdered 500 believers. In each case, the charges had no basis in truth and reality, only a projective imagination. At any rate, as in 1929 and in the year 2000, Islam, not Palestinian nationalism, is the fuel that lights the Muslims' desire to shed Jewish blood.
גם אנחנו רצים ורודפים כמו עכבר במבוך מסובך, שוכחים לפעמים את מטרת החיים, החיוך מאליו גם נשכח. בוא אחי נעצור ונביט לפנים, ננגב עוד אמא מוזרה, ונזכור שיש מישהו שם בשחקים שמושיט לי ידו לעזרה. אז בוא נעצור את מרוץ החיים רק לרגע, ונביט מלמעלה, נראה מה קורה. בוא נעצור את מרוץ החיים רק לרגע, ונביט מלמעלה, נראה מה קורה. לצאת! יא יא יא, יא 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 מחפש לו פינה בנשמה שיוכל שם לשתול קצת שמחה, להפריח קצת צחוק, להפסיק לרדוף, לשבת רגע במנוחה. אנשים שרצים ובורחים מהצל, מהצל של עצמם שרודף, מחפשים רק לרגע מקום בו יוכלו לשחרר את ליבם הכואב. אז בוא נעצור את מרוץ החיים רק לרגע, ונביט מלמעלה, נראה מה קורה. נעצור את מרוץ החיים רק לרגע, ונביט מלמעלה, נראה מה קורה. לצא! יא יא יא, יא 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 יא, יא 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 יא, יא 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 יא. תנסה להגיד יא 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 ותראה מסביבך שהוא חיוך שכזר, תנסה לחייך ותראה איך הצחוק יתפרץ מגופך דבר. תעצור את מרוץ החיים ותראה שכולם נפגשים ברמזור, אם נוסיף רק חיוך למרוץ שכזה אז נגיע ישר אל האור. אז בוא נעצור את מרוץ החיים רק לרגע, ונביט מלמעלה, נראה מה קורה. נעצור את מרוץ החיים רק לרגע, ונביט מלמעלה, נראה מה קורה. לצא! יא יא יא, יא 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 יא, יא 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 יא, יא 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 יא, יא יא יא.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Also in the news, in the realm of rumors in the news, one concerns Abbas declaring in his annual UN speech in a couple of weeks that Oslo is a dead letter. We mentioned that last time. I hope it's true, and I hope Israel is ready to spring into action. If he does this, as suggested last week, Israel should arrest him for his PLO crimes, which crimes were ignored for the sake of Oslo. Annul Oslo, and he annuls his own immunity. I also hope Israel immediately shuts down PA radio and PA TV. For Oslo meant Israel allowing for such media. If memory serves, what Uncle Shimon did was take away a radio frequency Israeli Arabs had used for their Arabic programming and gave it to the PLO. This should also be reversed. Likewise, the PLO press, Israel should announce that henceforth Israel will show no tolerance for anti-Semitic programming on PA TV and in the PA radio and the PA print media. On Rosh Hashanah, on Monday, the official PA newspaper told its readers that rock throwing is permissible under international law. Abbas himself has praised the rock throwers. His newspaper should also be shut down. Israel should also, in addition to major fines and even 10-year prison sentences for Molotov cocktail throwing, Israel must regird its own loins and return to the thrilling days of yesteryear following the amazing Six-Day War, when a self-confident Israel did not hesitate to expel rabble-rousers and other malefactors. I think Israel might try arresting a passel of these teenage thugs on the Temple Mount and putting them immediately aboard a helicopter that flies up north and over the frontier into Syria and leaves them there. Israel has to declare to the world that in our state, unlike scores of other states in history, where abusing Jews was a par for the course, in Israel there is zero tolerance for stone throwers and Molotov cocktail throwers, whom Israel should not spend any money on in prison upkeep, but just kick out of the country. Will the international community howl? Of course. When doesn't it howl about our alleged Nazi-like mistreatment of the real authentic owners of Palestine that we Jews stole from them? Israel must go public with a new public policy, diplomacy. Nation for peace begins with respect for the Jewish people and our religion on the part of the Muslims. That has to be the bottom line first step for any kind of negotiations. Any Muslim who claims there were no Jewish temples on Haram al-Sharif is not a partner for any kind of negotiations. Israel and Muslims must learn to respect the Jews, respect recorded history, and then talks can proceed toward a better relationship. Muslims must accept that in the land of Israel, attacking Jews at random is absolutely forbidden. Israel has to learn to put its foot down and demand minimum respect for our religion and our holy city and make of violence against Jews the number one no-no.
Mizmor le David Hashem roi lo echzar Bin ot deshe yarbitzeini Al mei menuchot yenaleini נפשי ישובב ינחני דמג לצדק למען שמו גם כי אלך בגי צל מוות לא עיר הרע כי אתה עמדי שבטך ומשנתך המה ינחמוני תערוך לפניי שולחן נגד צורריי נשנת בשמן ראשי כוסי רוויה אך טוב החסד ירפוני כל ימי חיי ושבתי בבית השם לאורך ימים אורך ימים מזמור לדוד, השם רואי לא יחסר דשן ירביצני על מי מנוחות ינעלני נפשי ישובב ינחני במעגלי צדק למען שמו גם כי אלך בגיץ על מוות לא עיר הרע כי אתה עימדי כי אתה עימדי שמן ראשי כוסי רוויה אך טוב החסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי ושבתי בבית השם לאורך ימים לאורך ימים
Last item, in keeping with my suggestion that Israel rebrand the enemy as Muslims, not Palestinians, and we take note of the flip-flop in Germany since the last webcast a week ago. Then we were all flabbergasted by the decision of Angela Merkel to throw open the doors of Germany to hundreds of thousands more Muslims. Well, on Sunday, she walked that back and now wants to keep them out. She seems to have made a complete U-turn. Perhaps in horror at the reality, and the coming collapse of 1985 Schengen Agreement to erase borders between Europe's member states. The borders are now, I think, about to rise up from the dead in fear of the penetration of all these Muslims, mostly from Syria and Afghanistan, home to some of the most savage of Muslim peoples. Those of us of a certain age and older remember commercial air travel before the late 1960s, when there was no such thing as a security check. That miserable inconvenience of having to remove your shoes and your belts and your pocket change and your computers from their carrying cases. This is what Islam has done to air travel. And here Islam is also wrecking the utopian attempt over the last 30 years to create a Europe without internal borders, to further commerce and tourism. Israel has to rebrand the enemy here and tell the world these so-called Palestinians are really the same Muslim lunatics who brought down the World Trade Center and have embittered too many lives in Europe with their presence. Israel should profit from finally speaking the truth that Islam is public enemy number one in civilized countries. Not that Muslim secret agent in the Oval Office is going to like that. Okay, until Sunday, Laila Tov, Shabbat Shuva Shalom. From Eretz Yisrael.